And I believe there were so many persons in there who can testify to the fact that they were in the midst of a dark valley. And yet God inside of them got them the victory. Do I have a witness in this place? So indeed, we've got the victory in the midst of what we are going through. And we praise God for that. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated in his presence. Now, you know, when people make prayer requests, we don't believe in just saying amen and the Lord bless you. So at the end of the service, Doc, we're going to lift up Brian in prayer and anybody else that might be going through a difficult, in our words, we would call it impossible situation. The one good thing about our God is he specializes in making possible out of the impossible, because that word does not exist in his vocabulary. Impossible. Out of there. And then not only is God powerful enough to deal with bringing relief to any situation, Doc and Sister Bethel and Brother Greg, he could even handle you while you're in it. He can give you the grace to deal with it. That's the goodness. And that's the greatness of our God. I pity those who don't have a place where they could cast their cares. But the believer in God could still go to sleep. They could cast their cares upon him. What a friend we have in Jesus. How many? What a privilege. Can we find a friend so faithful? Who will, how much? All our sorrows share. Jesus knows our every weakness. All we gotta do is take it to the Lord in prayer. I also at this time want to mention the passing of Sister Eloise Thompson. Those of you who might be familiar with Exuma and Farmersville, Ebenezer Union Baptist Church. Sister Eloise Thompson was a faithful usher in that church for many years, and indeed a faithful member of Ebenezer Union Baptist Church, and the Exuma district. You always saw her ushering during those conventions. She passed away last night, and her daughter passed away yesterday. Two of them passed away in one day. Now, that's the mother of Sister Lynette Thompson. She's a member of South Beach. She's an usher in South Beach Union Baptist Church. And her mother, after she became ill, she came and lived here in Nassau, and she is also at South Beach Union Baptist Church with Lynette. And so they have two persons that pass in 24 hours. You know, sometimes when you think you have it rough, I just want to put some things in perspective today. When you think you have it rough, if you lose your sister and your mother in one day. Man, only Jesus can handle that. Only him can handle that. As I always say, particularly at funerals, Jesus is the only answer to the 6 feet hole. Did you hear that? He is the only answer, the only explanation to a 6 foot hole. Because everybody that's in him, that's only asleep. That's only a rest. It's only a rest. So we give God thanks and praise. Come on, I says, you all wake with me. You all just had session the other day. Amen. So we give God thanks and praise for all that he's done. The funeral service for, if you did not hear it, for Brother Reynaldo King, the son of Sister Etta Bullard Johnson, will be held this coming Friday. I think it's Friday. Is that the 20th? What Friday is it? The 25th? Friday the 25th. At the Church of God Auditorium on Joe Farrington Road. That's Friday the 25th of January at Joe Farrington Road Auditorium. We continue to lift up all of our members in prayer. This morning we will speak on the character of the kingdom of God.
Lead me, Lord. Lead me.
Please also remember the family of Sister Iselda Humes and the Gibbs family who would be laying to rest her daughter and their sister this coming Saturday right here at the church at 10 a.m. Mona will be funeralized right here at the church at 10 a.m. this coming Saturday. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12 is the text that we will speak from today, concerning our topic, the character of the kingdom. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men, or when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The word of the Lord. Last week, we began the new year with our theme, the kingdom of God, which focused on the nature of the kingdom. Jesus' reply to Nicodemus reveals the nature of the kingdom of God in John 3:3-5. It begins as an inner kingdom, an inner rule of God that is initiated by being born again. It is important to note that Jesus
was speaking to a man of the highest religious order in Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee, an ardent keeper of the law, when Jesus spoke of the concept of being born again, and it confused him. Nicodemus is probably confused because he is trying to figure out why is Jesus telling him about being born again. I am already a member of the Commonwealth of Israel. I'm already a blessed man. Why are you bringing that up to me? And he asks what I consider to be, this is a very smart and intelligent person, but I think it's a pretty, how should I describe it? It's a pretty stupid question. I'm trying to do my best. And in his confusion, he says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter again into his mother's womb? I mean, if somebody asked you that question, what would you think? A grown man? So he's confused. Very confused. And he's confused because his concept of the kingdom was based on a religious system of keeping the law, keeping rules and regulations, while Jesus' concept was what was prophesied by Jeremiah hundreds of years before, chapter 33, verses 33 to 34, that in this new kingdom concept, instead of obeying written laws that were written on tablets, God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, would write his laws in our hearts. And that happens when a person is born again. It's the nature of the kingdom. You need to be born into it. Not born into a family now. Because a lot of persons believe that because they are connected to somebody who is born again, that might help them. Oh, my mother saved. My grandfather them been in church. You know, many times you ask people a question. Do you know they'll say, man, are you a Christian? Oh, man, I grew up in church all my life. Normally that's where they come in. Oh, my grandfather was the pastor. That's not the question that's being asked. Has a change happened to you? And the thing about being born again, brothers and sisters, is it can't grow on you. You can't come to church and say, you know how long I've been in church? That doesn't make you born again. You need to do something. You need to ask God to do something in your life in order for you to be born again. There are some people in church, any church you go into, my brothers and sisters, not everybody in there is born again. But they've been coming to church like they're born again. They've been acting like they're born again. But a change never happened on the inside of them. Sad to say, some preachers are not born again. Teachers of the Sunday school, leaders of the deacon board. And I know that because Jesus spoke of them right in this sermon, a little later on. And he says, many are going to say to me, he didn't say a few, you know. He said, many. How much is many? More than one. Will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do? And I believe the Hamans could be on top of that list. They will be saying all of the wonderful things that they did. God, if it wasn't for me sweeping the church would not have gotten swept. God, if it wasn't for me being there to open the door, they couldn't get in. God, if it was not for my teaching those young people, they would never be born again. And Jesus will say to them, sadly, away from me, I never knew you. These are people who participated in many persons' salvific experience. So listen, that's why, could I tell some of y'all, stop worrying about other people? Stop worrying about other people, because some of y'all, you know, you're worried about who doing this and who doing that. Let them do what they doing. If people getting saved under it, leave them alone. God is going to deal with it at the right time. So, my brothers and sisters, when people are born again of his spirit, the law of Christ would be encoded in their hearts, which allows the rule of God to govern their lives. If you find a bunch of unruly people in church who can't do nothing straight, watch out. The rule of God is not in their lives. They're calling themselves a name, mind you, but the rule of God ain't in their lives. The Holy Spirit needs to be governing you to be a citizen of the kingdom. Man, come on, man. If you're still doing the same old things you used to do, saying the same old words you used to say, going the same old places you used to go, you need a governor. And that governor is the Holy Spirit. And you can only get the Holy Spirit by being born again. You need a governor. Now, I stated from the text last week, kingdom citizens' purpose is to fish for people. That's our purpose. To fish for people. Make disciples. That means to reproduce ourselves. Could I tell you all that God, many of the sermons and ministries that I hear today being preached, they are preaching everything other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mind you, they're preaching catchy things, you know. And they are teaching people how to make life better for themselves. Listen, do you know that really Jesus did? That's not the gospel that Jesus came to preach. As a matter of fact, Jesus never came here. If Jesus wanted to make life better for himself, he would have stayed up in glory. He would not have come down here and be nothing and hang out with people who would insult him and end up killing him. No. Jesus came down here because he wanted to make life better for you, and me. And that's the message of the gospel. That's the good news. That he came to save. This old time preaching here today. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why Jesus came. And that's why you got saved. You can't be better than the master. No. Jesus didn't come to increase your wealth. He didn't come here to let you lay down in a bed of roses. Man, all that, according to Matthew, he's going to preach it in a few. All that, he says, are added stuff. That's added benefits. But he can't, listen, and your role here is to seek the kingdom of God. That means do what you saw Jesus did. And boy, he didn't come here to lay down and relax. And you know that Jesus didn't have a relaxing, or what you call a relaxful life. Every time you looked around, someone was throwing rock at him. And so we as leaders, we can't be surprised when people throw rock, as people are not throwing stones at us. We ain't acting like Jesus. You can't walk around and have nobody. Man, if ain't nobody saying nothing but you, you ain't standing for nothing. We got to stand for something, even if they don't like it. So listen, kingdom citizens, you are not just churchgoers. You are not just bench warmers who would have punched your tickets for heaven and you sitting down waiting for the streets of gold. Can I say that one more time? Because some people believe that's what you got saved for. You didn't get saved so that you could, in other words, punch your ticket so you could sit back and relax and say, Lord, I'm waiting just to get on those streets of gold. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. That's not why you get saved. If you got saved for that, brothers and sisters, all you needed to do after you got saved was to die. And then you could go home to the place you want to go to very quickly. So you could get to the streets of gold. Anybody ready for the streets of gold to get there quick? Ain't nobody ready for that now. You say, Lord, bring that when I 103. Bring that, Lord, when I finish. And that's what many people want to do. Could I say that to you? Many people only want to come to Jesus when they all. Oh, no, when you done finish, give your life to the devil. Use up all your strength and your energy. Carrying on and carousing. And then when the time comes, you come limping. Say, oh, I come to give you God all. All to Jesus I surrender. Would you all surrendering? Oh, no, 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 no. See, he said, listen, God is calling you young people right now because you're strong. And the young supposed to hang on to the old to get the wisdom so they could do what's right. So old and young, walking this thing out together. Boy, you all need to give God praise in him. Listen, I can say this, and people don't really like to hear this kind of preaching, man. I could tell you all this. They don't like to hear this kind of preaching. But could I tell you all, God ain't called no young church? Oh, see, I know people get mad. God didn't never call a young church. Because what I find today is we've got this spirit of what I call ageism in the church. Young people don't have nothing to do with old people. Old people don't have nothing to do with young people. You all got that? And God called us to be wise and the young and the old work it together. And you all give God praise. Act like that's a good word I give you all. Yeah, the young people think they know everything. And you know they don't know nothing. That's why you there. And when I say nothing, don't take it that I mean nothing, nothing. I mean real wisdom. How could you get, there's a reason why we got age on us, Devon. God been, those years that he put on us, God been teaching us wisdom. And he gave us that wisdom so we can help you all. Our role is to help the young people take our job. That's our role. Don't stay longer in your job. And then I'll say this to the young people. Don't get pushy. Don't get pushy. Listen. You don't need to worry about pushiness, my brothers, young people. God, did you all hear all those things you all heard me saying the other day? God needs every one of you. Every hand in this church, God needed. Everyone. And you know why God needed? Because we can't do it. We can't do it. That's why we need y'all. Someone tell me, say, well, Pastor, you know you need an Instagram account. Insta who? You need a Twitter account. Oh. You need to blog, pastors. Write a blog every week. Huh? You need this. You need that. So, listen, somebody got to help me with that. Are y'all hearing me? Somebody got to help me with that. Because, listen, can I tell y'all that, believe me, I am not trying to boast about myself or any. While I'm very close to 60 right now, I've been doing this now, Greg, for 39 years. So I have an idea about what it means to be saved. Believe me. And if it's one or two things I could do is I could tell you a little bit about salvation. All right? So God gave me the ability to do that and to teach you how to live a godly life. And that's what I can do. How to get it out and how to fix it up, that's y'all. Is that all right? Fix it up. But get the message out. Get the message out. I understand they say y'all can't pay attention for more than a couple minutes. Y'all can't watch nothing for more than a minute. Well, we can put it in 1 minute so y'all can listen to it. No excuse. Sound doctrine with a different methodology. What do you say about that? That's what we're looking for here. Did you hear what Brother Greg say? We want somebody in this church, a youth pastor, who is doctrinally based, but who could still talk your talk and that kind of stuff. Y'all hear me? That's what I'm talking about. But don't come and you don't know nothing and then you want to say you want lead. Man, we can't have that. That's never been how this church was. Oh, no, no, no. The rest of them could fill up their churches with them. We don't need airheads. We don't need that. Listen, the world needs this message, young people. Your generation needs it. Boy, I don't know why you're on this morning, but I need to tell that to y'all. It's your day. Your generation needs you. And you can't be playing. And secondly, you can't be compromising. That's the major problem we got with young people today. Man, listen. Could I tell y'all young people today that you could still be cool and holy at the same time? You could do that. So don't let nobody tell you you can't do that. I don't mind you wearing your cut up jeans, but have the word of God in your head. Understand that here's what the psalmist says. How can a young man keep his way pure? And how can he do that? By continuously staying and studying the word of God. I could care less what you got on your head. I'm worried about what you got in your head. People trying to, then they preaching some kind of slippery gospel today. You know what's the most dangerous gospel today? People don't understand us, but what's the most dangerous today is not people or the unsaved people who are out there in the world, you know. What presents the most problem is people in church who believe they save and are not. Are you all hearing me? So they went to church and somebody gave them an easy gospel. Cheap gospel. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. You heard about cheap grace. I only want a piece of God. Lord, I don't need enough to get me to walk holy. I just need enough to get me for people to believe I are right. That's dangerous stuff. And it's paraded about in all kind of churches around here. But I tell you, no, we can't handle that in here. You preach sound gospel in here. God has called us to make a change in our lives. What I'm calling about is a credible confession of faith, and you're walking by that every day. I'm not trying to tell anybody in here that God has called you or that you could be perfect. Or that you could walk. All of us make mistakes. You know that, don't you? But you got to be striving. Striving on. You see? You got to be trying day by day. God, I'm trying to drop some stuff that I did yesterday. And I want to walk more in your way today. That's a person that's progressing. That's called sanctification. Man, if you ain't doing that, you ain't serious. You're not serious about God if you're not doing that. I don't know how I get there, but that's where I get there. Listen, I meant to tell you all that the goal of the kingdom really and truly is not for you to get to heaven. The goal of the kingdom is for you to reproduce other citizens to get to the kingdom of heaven. That's your goal. See, other than that, you will just get saved, sit here and wait for Jesus to come. Standing right here by the river till you come, Lord. That's what you... Oh, yeah, and you're jumping. You're standing right there. You don't want to do nothing. No, no. God called you to work. Somebody shout, work in here. That's what God called you to do. Work for the night. My father them used to sing, for the night is coming
and no one is able to work. So the kingdom is a place of reproduction. Every kingdom has a culture. And culture is a system of beliefs, values, assumptions about life that guides your behavior. That's a culture. You know, what are the beliefs and values that you have? Most Bahamians like to say our culture is junk canoe. Oh, Lord. My culture is... No, no. You know, your culture is how you behave. How you... What kind of values we have here? And man, listen, if you go by that, be in trouble. Think about that. The only thing we know about us is kaboom, kaboom, kaboom. That's all we know. Listen... You know, some of the biggest fights we have in this country is on Boxing Day and New Year's Day, after they finish. You got more fight around here than you could shake a stick at. They rob us! Oh, Lord. Could I tell you all, man, listen, if you're involved in junk canoe, get your costume, go there and you could have fun. But for God's sake, Shankanu can't get us to heaven. Huh? Just wear some of these things loosely. You got your children and grandchildren to worry about. You talking about Shankanu. And guess what? They don't pay you all enough for that. Nobody could get paid for what they do for Shankanu. Did you hear that? People would take off from work, spend their own money on those expensive feathers. Hours. Leave their children. Leave their wife. And they could care less what happened to them. Because all they're waiting for is Boxing Day. New Year's Day. I told somebody, listen, man. Wonder, I passed by the shop. And you know, the family was just beaming. They just been... Boxing Day. So I passed by them on New Year's Eve and they were there. I said, boy, pastor, see, you know something, ma'am? When we first opened the shop, said, Reverend Sanders came and prayed for us. You ain't come yet. The fella remembered that. He wasn't joking. He said, when we first opened there, the former pastor came and prayed for them. Say, I ain't come to pray for them yet. I said, boy, I believe you're going to need that prayer in the morning. Let me pray for you now because I don't want you to believe you're all going to win tomorrow. And I didn't care. Well, listen to you, Junkney fans. I didn't care, Greg, how good they look. They wasn't giving it to them. They'd have set you all up. It don't matter. Listen, Junkney is so subjective. For God's sake, you all, to me, that like wrestling. That like wrestling. They decide and see who's going to be the champion next year. And they ain't letting the valley and the Saxons go blind, Robert. They ain't letting that happen. Politics. So listen, could I tell y'all in here, stop putting y'all hopes in them junk canoe fellas. You better get the culture. Listen, get the culture of the kingdom of God. Don't worry about that one. Put on your colors, buy your feathers, but don't let that bother you. You need to be concerned about the kingdom. Somebody give God praise for the kingdom of God. Because some of y'all still mad. And then in Freeport, they had big thing in Freeport. You know? And they take him to court now, eh? Junk canoe! That's me culture. Listen. Let me say this to you. God came to change the culture of people. All of us were born into a kingdom of darkness. The culture of that kingdom was evil. Satan's kingdom. And you know what happened? After you get born again and born into the kingdom of God, God has to now
retrain your thinking to the culture of heaven. Now, here's what a lot of people now, here's where a lot of church people, and especially faith people, that's where they go off. Here's where they run off now, because they run off and say, the culture of heaven is wealth and no need, no lack. Nothing missing and nothing broken. Everything now. That's the culture of heaven. And Jesus is going to preach a culture that's totally different than that. And you can read it right in your Bible. The culture of the kingdom, here it is that what you need to do, my brothers and sisters, as a kingdom citizen, you need to get yourself, or you need to get your mind renewed from that old culture into this new culture. And you know what that mind renewal Paul used in Romans 12? Be not conformed. Y'all help me preach in here today to this word. But be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you would be able to test what the good and perfect will of the Lord is. Did that say anything about you getting rich? As a matter of fact, Jesus is going to tell you it's about you going through persecution to get your mind renewed, because you got a bad culture. Some people wondering why you act the way you act. That's the reason you can't change yourself. You got a culture of wickedness because your daddy is a wicked man. I'm not talking about your physical daddy. I'm talking about Satan, the spiritual daddy. And you don't change kingdoms without being born again. Some people in the church, my God, they're trying hard to change. You can't change yourself. No. That's the problem with resolutions. That's the problem with that. You there, oh, I'm going to do this next year. I'm going to do that next year. The devil sit back and laugh. Say, you can do that, eh? So, I just heard my brother make a statement. You know, he said, he was walking some mornings, and he was saying for the, when he used to go to R.M. Bailey, during the last months of last year, it used to be him and a couple. Him and just a few folk. He says, since January, the park full. That's what he's trying to say. Every shape and every size. They have made their resolution that I'm going to lose 50, 40, 100, or whatever they say they can lose. And he knows that by December of this year, it can be back to them four. I give it till December. Greg and Lance say Easter they finish. That's resolutions. And that's why resolutions don't work. My brothers and sisters, God requires of commitment. Did you hear me say that word? Commitment. That's what I want to see this year with our young adults and young people. For God's sake, I want to see some commitment. Commitment. I'm decided that I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to be faithful to that. And that's what we're talking about. Commitment. I am. And my mind flows back. And young people, this is the reason why you can't tell me about these things, young people. I done been there and done that. You all hear me? When I was 19 years old and 20 years old, just a young person, we were going and having street meetings every week, Greg. We got together, we bought a band, we bought equipment at 1 o'clock every night. Because I had no house, we were borrowing Brenda and Greg, going in their house, putting equipment in their house. 1 o'clock in the morning after we finished. Yes. We did that for 15 years. So I was out singing and doing whatever I had to do and preaching the word of God for years. And I didn't want to be no preacher. For God's sake, I didn't want to be no pastor. Yeah? In the name of Jesus, I didn't want to do that. I was a businessman. What I can do out there suffering being a pastor? Are y'all hearing me? But listen, when God sees a committed heart, you'll never know what he's going to do. God is looking for commitment. That's what's going to get you through. Stop being flaky and stop being flimsy. If you say you're going to be there, pray to God that you can live up to what you say. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I ain't hit this today. I'm going to have to answer. But this is where the Lord leading us today. Listen, in 2019, man, we're talking about the kingdom, man. We're talking about commitment. We're talking about no compromise. We're talking about no retreat. We're talking about standing for Jesus. We stand for Christ. We live. Oh, Lord. That's what God looking for today. And listen, could I tell you also, young people, let me give you this good piece of good news. Because the rest of people out there wonder, see, man, what are you getting for that? What are they getting for that? Believe me, God rewards like nobody else could reward. Could I tell you all that? God rewards like no one else. He's the best paymaster ever. Best paymaster. Now, when I stand up and tell you that God is the best paymaster ever and that God is the greatest lover ever, could I tell you on the next side of that is there's a side called judgment as well. Because if you don't, there is judgment. The wages, Lord have mercy, of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Every time God says no, he gives a yes. But you got to be committed to get the yes. You got to be committed to get that yes. Amen. I can get to one of these today and then I'm going to quit. This brings us to our text today. Lord, just reaching the text today. But thank God, Lord willing, I can stop when I'm ready. I got another Sunday. I got Sundays to go, eh? Yes, a whole year. This brings us to our text where Jesus' message is designed to change the culture of church to kingdom. You all hear me? It's designed to change the message. It's designed to get you to change your mind from being churchy to being a citizen of the kingdom. That's a mind change. That's a mind change. Because church, oh, that's a whole different story than the kingdom. A whole different mindset than the kingdom. And it says, what's this now? Because once you get born again, the next assignment is that God builds character in you. No person is born again with full good character. Character needs to be developed. That's the process we call sanctify. Yes. Yes. You are here as a baby and you need to grow up. And that's what Jesus is trying to. He called these men, called these disciples, and what he's going to do is he's going to put them in the kingdom culture class. This is how you ought to behave, and this is what it takes for you to grow up, to build character. That's called holiness. People think holiness ain't wearing no long white dress and looking ugly. Because, you know, some people really believe that holiness is for you women to look ugly. Don't put on no makeup and just look like you've been drinking lemon juice. That's holiness to people. You know, but listen, holiness don't have, it will be manifested in that how you will dress a particular way. You know, there's a modest dress for you to put on. Because listen, if you're holy, you can't be walking, showing everything, ladies. And then men need to be, for God's sake, I one of the things I believe I detest most is to see a young man, and listen, some of them have a belt These idiots have a belt tied around their hip to keep the pants down here. Oh, Lord, help me in here today. Help me today, Lord. Come on. Listen, man. God, if when you get born again, culture gone. Change that. Now listen, I ain't tell you not to come in here with it, because our church, come on, I says, our church is the church with the what? Open door. So y'all ain't here to block no one because of how they dress or how they look. But when you come inside here and you get hold of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it should do something to you. Somebody ought to give God praise in here. You shouldn't look the same. Come on, man. Yeah, let's deal with that. So listen, so that's what we got to deal with. It's a change in the culture. First thing Jesus did, verse 1. I believe this is where I can get to and stop. First thing he did, it jumps out at us. He says, now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside, sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. The first thing that jumps out is that the teachings of the kingdom is for disciples and not the crowds. Oh, Lord, have mercy. That's who the teachings. Listen, there's a reason why he stuck that out. Jesus separated the disciples from the crowds. That means he separated church folks from kingdom citizens. He separated them. You know why? Because church folk come in looking for something. They come into church for what they could get, dog. That's why they were coming to follow Jesus. If you healing every disease, you driving out demons, you doing all this stuff, you feeding them when they hungry, that's why they in church. And Jesus recognized that. So he say, listen, I came to teach the kingdom citizens, because only kingdom citizens could handle what I am about to say. The crowds ain't interested in change. The crowd just interested in what they could get. Listen, churches, many churches are filled today because people trying to get something. Oh, yeah. That's what I call preaching consumerism theology. Everything they preach is about how the people could be blessed, what they could get from God. That's not a kingdom citizen. A kingdom citizen is interested in what can I do for the kingdom? What can I give to the kingdom? Not what can I get. You'll always know a false teacher. Watch out for that. Because they're always teaching people about how they could elevate themselves. Ooh, God never teach that. Jesus never teach. Sound good? That sound good? He never teach people about how to elevate themselves. Do you know what Jesus said about elevating yourself? He said, listen, if you be humble, he said, then I... That's the message of the kingdom. We need to stop these, what I call them, motivational speeches in churches. God called us to preach the gospel. God ain't teaching us to be giving people motivational messages. He called us to preach the gospel. Do you know why? Because some of the things we can say, you ain't gonna like. You ain't gonna like some of them. And that's what's gonna work. There's much of the stuff that you don't like is the stuff that can be good for you. Children and young people, you all here, most of the stuff you don't like is what's good for you. That's why, that's what it's all about. So he called his disciples to himself so he could teach them. Now watch what he did. He never excluded the crowd from listening. But my focus is on the kingdom citizens, because these are the persons that will go out and fish for people. They can make a difference. The church goers or the church folk, they only there because you tell them if you put in 10, God will give you 1,000. And they come in for that. Oh, if you just follow Jesus, he'll give you the package, healing, deliverance, and everything you could think of. So people come for that. Now, do you know what the problem, where the problem come in? When they get to find out that one day they knelt down to pray for their sick family member and they didn't get healed. So what you can tell them then? You say all that package is in there. One day, the people came and took your house. Something went wrong with your child. You got a bad message one day. One after the next, like Job, they keep coming bringing these bad news. And then you say, wow, that doesn't sound like God. And then we could never find you again. Because God is not faithful. Do you know many people today don't believe God is faithful because somebody told them a lie? God is not just God. My brothers and sisters, when he gets you out of something, God is still God while you're in the midst of that something. And listen, and as long as you stay with him, could I tell you that this too shall pass? I don't care what might happen in the end of the day. God will be there, right there with you. And you need to listen. You got to preach this message. The same God, glory be to God, of the mountain is the same God when you're in the valley. And could I tell you one day you're going through the valley? But you don't need to worry about the valley because in the valley, God is right there. When you go through your valley experience, I believe somebody in here is going through a valley experience right now. Could I tell you, my brother, my sister, God is with you. God is with you. Somebody say, you might not feel him, but you're not alone. You may be hurting now. Lord have mercy. People don't like to put up their hand when they say you may be hurting, but you may be hurting now. What could I tell you? The morning is coming. Woo! Just hold on to Jesus. And ride out that storm. Ride out your storm. God is right there with you. You say you might not feel him, but you're not alone. Remember that you're hurting now. But the morning is coming. Just hold on to the promise. Hold on to the promise. Hold on to the promise. Because God is right there and he'll see you too. Oh, Lord, I am right there today. Oh, yes. Listen, man, if you were kingdom citizen, could I tell you God is right there? That's for the person who is a citizen. Could I talk to somebody who probably has not signed up? Insurance is only good if you sign up for the plan before. Ooh. Listen, you can't decide to go to Bahamas first when you see the hurricane out there brewing and you say, I see the hurricane, but a Patrick cover me. They laugh at you. It means you are trying to get out of somebody something that you never invested in. How do you want kingdom stuff without investing in the... You could go to the bank to draw money you didn't put there. What they call you?
Some people think God fool. Behemoths, as much as y'all the swing people, y'all can't swing God. You need to make your calling and election sure. And you got to do it before the storm comes. I'll give you one more story and then I'll give you the call. God decided that he was going to send a storm. This didn't just happen now. He was going to send this storm. So he called a man named Noah. He said, Noah, go out there and tell the people that a storm coming. They need to come in the ark. Anything more simple than that? Trouble coming. Sign up. Come. They say, man, they began to pontificate. They say, man, what you building a boat for? We don't know nothing but no rain. Where this guy? Huh? But like, no! That's why I come. You know something? In the Presbyterian faith, Brother Greg, they don't believe in making altar calls. They say the Spirit of God is powerful enough to draw men. I tell them, I don't know who the Lord drawing, so it's better for me to make that call. That was my message I preached to them in seminary. So like, no, I going out every day, every Sunday, and I, boom, boom, boom. I build in the boat. And while I'm building the boat, I say, come, come. You can need to come in here and get saved. You know those people waited right there. After 120 years, the rain start coming. I believe when that first set of rain start coming, they ain't think nothing. But when day two come, they say, huh? And then day three, and day four, and then the earth started giving up waters from beneath it, and that thing, they say, man, I think I should have listened to Noah. Yes, you should have. Knock on the door. No, no. Let us in. But it was too late. I believe it was that same historical context that the writer of the song who wrote I Dreamed of the Great Judgment Morning was thinking about. He was thinking about that boat. He said, I dreamed of the Great Judgment Morning had dawned and the trumpet had sounded. He said, I dreamed that the nations had gathered before the throne. The judgment before the white. From the throne came a bright shining angel and stood on the land and the sea. And he swore with his hands raised to heaven that time. Boom. 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 And oh, what a weeping and a wailing. As they knock on that door, let me in. Let me in. I believe if Noah could have opened that door, the cries that he heard of even some of his family members, he would have said, oh God, let them in. But God had shut the door. Come into the kingdom, man, while the weather good. Don't wait for the storm. You need to come now. Somebody's going through something. This is your time to say, God, I'm going through something, but you right there to ride this out with me. Whatever your need is, just come quickly, please. Just come to him right now. Whatever your need. You don't need to wait till a song crank up to come. Whatever your need is, if you've never been made a decision for Christ before, come. You say, Pastor, I'm going through some stuff, man. Some difficulties in my life. I need the church to pray for me. Somebody is sick in my family. God, I must stand in for them today. I'm going to believe God for that today. In the kingdom now, there is coverage for you. why don't you come at this time? This is the time when we're going to gather in prayer for those impossible situations. If you're in one of them today, come.